Persistence is the defining characteristic. We're going to hear that with Vincent Hunt, who is with me here in the second hour, talking about his persistence in helping us reshape educational models. Jesse Lynn, another persistent man, he's the general manager for the Pavilion at the Center of Tallahassee. So you stay right where you are. We got a great show lined up.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Hard Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Hard Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Your money at car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Welcome back, my dear friend, for another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I have great news for you, my friend. This is going to mark the anniversary of my birth, because yesterday was my birthday. Aha! 62 years. Born in 1955 in Seattle, Washington. Grew up there. Well, I never grew up, but I got older. And then, let's see, in 78, came to Tallahassee, went to graduate school, met my wife the second week I was here, married in 82, four kids later, all grown, they all hate me. No, that's not true. And here we are. And I'm delighted that you're here with me. Thanks for making this much more interesting, because otherwise I feel like I'm just sitting here talking to myself, which, as you know, with me, I mean, that has never stopped me before, so why not? But it's always a lot more interesting when we have you with us, and then we have people like Vincent Hunt and Jesse Lynn. Miriam's going to be with me here momentarily. We're going to talk about the latest edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine. Oh, boy. You're going to love this one. This is great stuff. Anyway, we'll talk more about that with Miriam. I've got Dr. Ko. She's going to talk with me in the second hour. She'll be here to talk to us about taking care of our eyeballs, optic health, as it's referred to professionally. She is an ophthalmologist over there at Eye Associates, dear friends of ours, and glad that she had time to come in and bring us up to date on some things. Having to do, I think today's topic is dry eyes, and some of us suffer with this ailment, and more so, I guess, because of our lifestyles these days, staring at computer screens doesn't help. Anyway, so that's Dr. Ko. She'll be with me in the second hour. In the news around town, speaking of innovation, since we have innovators here, Jesse Lynn is that. He's an innovator that has brought to Tallahassee a remarkable contribution thus far. In the concerts that he's been scheduling out there at the Pavilion, this is what he does. So he's the general manager for the Pavilion at the Center of Tallahassee. Yeah. And this is a job, apparently, that runs at 110 miles an hour, 24/7. He is a remarkable individual. What's the old idea? You only have two gears, full speed and stop. I don't even think he has a stop button anymore. So he just keeps going. And it reminded me of this notion that persistence in any endeavor is really the question. And I want to talk with you a little bit further about that as we go through today's broadcast. But I have to say, in combination with that, persistence is this characteristic, this character quality of humility. And it, in my opinion, is something that we have lost hold of. We have all decided that we're number one. How is that going to work? I mean, if I am number one in my category, and I need you to know this, I come first. Well, let's put it this way. Nobody's going to cut me off in traffic. Nobody's going to disagree with me in my conversations about politics. Nobody is going to try to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to make me wait at a stoplight when the light turns green. I mean, it just goes on. I'm not waiting for anybody because, after all, I am my boss. I am the center of my universe. I mean, you know, yes, I'm given to some hyperbole here, and it's probably a bit more dramatic just to make the point for your sake. But I want to tell you, when I look at the people who we've talked to and I listen to them talk about their achievement, you're going to hear it when you listen to Vincent Hunt, when you listen to Jesse Lynn. And you've heard it over and over again. How about Greg Bobinger? Tallahassee's famous mag lab, National High Magnetics Laboratory. That's a humble guy. Humility. What does that have to do with achievement? Because at the very least, you're humble enough to say that you're willing to continue to try, even though you may have not been able to achieve what you set out to do initially. There's a kind of resilience that comes when one says to oneself, I am grateful for who I am, for what I have to offer. I am humble enough to say that it isn't always going to roll my way. And I'm willing to say that same moment, I'm here to bring some good to some other people. Or maybe I'm here to discover what good can be brought about. It may not be something of great note to a large group of people, but in your own world, in my world, in our own way, we're working towards some good, something that we've discovered, something that we then might want to share with someone else. Okay. But in that capacity to say it's worth it, it means I don't throw down my paintbrushes and just storm off. Because it didn't work the first time, I'm done. I'm out. You know, Simon Sinek talks a lot about this. Some of you who follow his writing and his TED Talks and such, he talks about what it means to know why you are doing what you do. Yeah. And so the whole conversation has revolved then around finding your why. A lot of people have jumped in on that. But I love this comparison that he brings to us when he talks about the Wright brothers. And he says they knew why they were doing it. And there were others at the time when mechanized flight was the thing of the time, you know, 1800s, and it was the buzz, right? Everybody was trying to work through that whole thing. Well, here were these two guys that had a bicycle shop who brought spare parts with them every time they did a test flight because they kind of figured they're going to have to repair once they, you know, they were working to get this thing off the ground. Getting it back down again was the next challenge. But nonetheless, there is a mark of humility there to say, you know what, we are undaunted. Because we're pursuant in our desire to achieve this end, whatever it takes. And he refers to them, he refers to Martin Luther King. Dr. King, who said to all of us, ultimately, I have a dream. He didn't say, I have a plan, but he had a vision of what the future could look like. And he said, this is my dream. This is what I imagine could be. And he was humble enough to put that out there in front of us, subject to all kinds of responses, not knowing what those responses might be, good or bad. But he did so. I think that's a humble soul. I think that what we're going to find today, in the words of Vincent Hunt and Dr. Coe and Miriam Dady and Jesse Lynn, we're going to have this conversation about innovation and creativity and humility and persistence. It may be the thing that we're missing most in our culture in this time. Maybe we can get started reviving that idea. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, straight ahead.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at volcartally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
Hello, Tallahassee. My name is Miriam Dady. I'm happy to be here with you. This is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have had to search far and wide for my next guest. I had to actually get up out of my seat here at Moose Magnificat Recording Studios and walk down the hall, and I found the publisher and grand potentate himself, Brian Cerny of Tallahassee Family Magazine, being rebranded as TFM. Brian, thanks for joining me today.
It was a pleasure making my way.
Well, you know, Tallahassee Business Spotlight usually talks about business. It occurs to me that this magazine has gone through one metamorphosis about a year ago.
Yeah.
And now it's on the verge, I'm thinking the first week of May.
Yes.
Of a brand new metamorphosis.
It's got a new look.
Mm-hmm. It would be a disservice to our listeners if we didn't tell them what is in store and where they can find it.
Well, that's healthy, and that's a great point. It does feel a little bit like I'm being self-serving here, but I think that the justification is when we talk with readers and we talk with people who are advertising in the magazine, it has met with a great deal of enthusiasm. So it is fair to say this is a topic that deserves attention, and it is one in which we think we have a publication that is unduplicated. And we think that this particular magazine, and you point to the fact that when it started, Tallahassee Family Magazine, going back about 2.5 years ago, to the credit of Jackie Carlberg, who many of you know and love, she's doing well. In fact, I think they've just come back from vacation in Sweden. So Jackie's doing fine. She had this vision. But the vision she had was really to craft the magazine as a sort of child-rearing oriented publication. We looked at the fact that the story of Tallahassee, a family-friendly community, one of the most celebrated family-friendly cities in America, is so because it brings to us all of this richness and all of the creativity and all of the innovation and the inspiration. That where do you go to find out stories about people like Laura Green, who's on the cover of the current issue?
Mm-hmm.
This woman is amazingly talented. She's the chief scientist at the Mag Lab, and worldwide she's celebrated for her contributions in high demand. And to me, that's not only an inspiration to those who may be future scientists among us, it's an inspiration to women. It's an inspiration to all of us who look at the contributions that are coming from this community.
Well, I think the new topics that are in Tallahassee Family Magazine and what is now becoming TFM,
right,
it redefines family.
Yeah.
And we celebrate what all of us as a family in this 5-county region are doing, creating, making.
That's true.
In every aspect. Tell me a little bit about what's going to be, what's changing between our last edition and what's coming out on May 1st.
Well, particularly you mentioned the TFM.
Yes.
We felt like, well, right away, it allows for a lot of individual interpretation.
Yeah.
We've even considered renaming
it. It's not an airport code. Let's just go ahead and say that right
here. That would be TLH. But I think TFM says it can be Tallahassee Family Magazine, but it's also the Family Magazine.
Right.
So anyway, right. That's one, visually, that's one thing you'll see. Noticeably, some of the production value involved with the printed product itself. This is remarkable.
Well, the content, I think the content really serves our community and other people that are interested in art and culture.
Right.
I've had a chance to kind of put my hands on this future copy.
Yeah.
I'm excited about what people are going to be seeing in town.
Oh, it's remarkable.
Where can they find it?
Well, your point is well taken. The content of this particular edition that's coming will just blow you away.
And the quality of it. Wasn't
astounding.
It's Lourdes Matson with Rapid Press.
Lourdes Matson.
They outdid themselves.
They really have.
Yeah.
Dave Barfield, our creative director.
Who is always brilliant.
Award winning. Just snagged another Addy Award at the district level for his photo work along with Carl in the current edition of the magazine. So all of that to say, you asked about where we can pick it up. What's happened, and many of you are aware of this, Publix, grocery stores, made a categorical decision in deciding that they're no longer going to offer free magazines. And so those racks that were in all those stores were removed. And it had nothing to do with the individual publications. It was just a decision that they made corporately. So given that's the circumstance, we're fortunate in that we are in possession of a fairly substantial network of schools and churches, professional centers, community centers, even the county library, that are happy to have copies of the magazine on hand. For example, we've got New Mount Zion AME Church, Governor's Charter Academy, Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, Trinity Catholic School, McClay School, Earth Fair, a grocery store, New Leaf Market, Whole Foods, Creative Child Learning Center, FSU Children's Center. These are all locations where we will be delivering large quantities of the magazine for their particular population. So that is actually, for us, that's actually a better situation because now we're a little bit closer to the people who really want that magazine.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And it's nice for everybody listening to be able to know where you can look for it, because when you see it, you're going to want to get your hands on it. It's that impressive. I would love to talk about some of the articles that are in the upcoming magazine, but we're about out of time. The one I want to mention that was striking to me was Camp Amigo.
Oh, my goodness.
What they do with burn victims there and how they can. Oh, my gosh. What a great article.
If you can
that
read
is.
That article and not tear up with joy and inspiration.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to work on you. But yes, that's a great article. There's an article in there about surviving breast cancer. Great testimonial. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this too. You can go online, TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com, and and subscribe to the magazine. If you want us to mail directly to your address, we'll take care of that. There's a small fee to cover postage, but we still provide this publication with no cover price. So happy to do it for you.
Nice. That is a gift, Tallahassee, from Brian and his entire staff at TFM to you. So take advantage of it. Also, if you feel you have some ideas for the magazine that you'd like us to take a look and really see how we can highlight all the good that's happening around us, I wish I could talk more. We will bring you great things in the future, and we want to hear your feedback. But for now, I'm going to sign off. You know who I am. I'm Miriam Dady. This is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Goodbye.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1971, the Tallahassee Mall broke ground or opened up its doors to a very eager community looking for what was then the new thing or a newer thing in the way of mall shopping and restaurant and entertainment. Over its lifetime, the Tallahassee Mall brought to us a lot of that sort of thing. Some of us remember when Gafers was still around, one of the anchors out there. But as it goes, malls have found themselves struggling. And some of those big anchor stores, even now, are struggling. Changing consumer habits and all kinds of considerations have contributed to that demise. And so the Tallahassee Mall, as it was known then, found itself trying to reinvent. But it seemed as though it was like that old expression, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So if that is the definition of insanity, well, there was a fair amount of that criticism out there. Well, fast forward to our current time and take note of the Baker family out of Birmingham. Alex Baker and his company, Blackwater, comes to this town with a kind of resolve that reminds me of some World War II general. I mean, there's a kind of determination among the ranks of these people who look at that situation, and rather than trying to do the same old thing in a new way, they came with a whole new concept, a whole new model for what was then the Tallahassee Mall and is now celebrated as the center of Tallahassee. There you go. One of the showpiece items, one of the most remarkable contributions of the center of Tallahassee is its pavilion. And we have with us this morning Jesse Lynn, who is the general manager in charge of the pavilion at the center of Tallahassee. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, that was a lengthy introduction for the sake of those who may be not as in touch with all that you are doing and has all that has happened in the number of months since this rebirth has occurred. And then comes this out of nowhere sort of feeling, the center of Tallahassee. And I think it left everybody just sort of breathless, waiting to find out, what is this going to be? And for those of you who have not yet made it part of your quest, you need to go see what has happened. Jesse, you've been the guy and remained the person in this role who takes this marvelous facility now. The pavilion itself is, from my understanding, a technological wonder. We're going to get into some of that. And you are, if you can say this, kind of filling out the dance card. You're the guy who's bringing to us entertainment from around the world for our sake, and realizing that this is now more than just a place you go to buy a pair of shoes. This is a place where you can spend the day.
You know, Brian, there's actually a promotional video out there that we use, and it's titled The Center of It All. And we want to look at the center of Tallahassee from both a regional, local community, sociological, from a population standpoint, to be the center of it all, where a family of four can come from across the street or come from Valdosta or Albany, and they can take care of some needs for the kids by getting some new shoes or a new shirt for little Johnny, getting a great bite to eat with some Italian food or some barbecue.
Let's talk about it.
And then at 6 o'clock at night, they pull out their tickets to see an upcoming show. That's the goal. It's an extremely visionary project.
Indeed.
You know, I'm very thankful to our ownership group that has that vision. And there's a lot of potential that we're hoping to capitalize on.
In that capacity, it occurs to me that when you talk about the vision, the definition of what is Tallahassee is much broader among you than what we may have been used to thinking. When you talk about some of these shows that you have done so very well, and a couple of them come to mind, you know, Willie Nelson among them, Alice Cooper, and you can add to that as we talk, but you've drawn from around the region. Mm-hmm. You've pulled people in from South Georgia and East and West Florida who have come to Tallahassee for those shows.
Yeah, and we have some analytics that we have the ability to dissect. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, we had a Christian rock show, the Cast in Crowns,
yeah.
that was promoted by a local radio station here in town.
Right.
And about 53% of the zip codes that we were able to identify were coming from across Georgia state line.
Wow.
We had another show back in November, a group called Blackberry Smoke, that was very well received.
Yeah.
And 47% of the zip codes were coming from the Georgia state line.
Interesting.
And, you know, that goes back to being the center of it all. Pulling in folks for good quality entertainment, a safe and enjoyable atmosphere that they can come in and do a bunch of different things throughout the day, you know, help with the local economy, go fill up their gas tank at the local gas station, you know, possibly, explore Tallahassee more before they come over to the center.
I like the idea, too, that it is an all-day, even into the evening sort of opportunity. And I like the diversity. I like the fact that you've brought together these worlds. You have the school there now, the Arts and Sciences
Charter School.
Yep. Charter School that's occupying a portion of the facility, mm-hmm. right along with the retailers like Guitar Center, right? Mm-hmm. And the bookstore. I mean, it's all there.
And it behooves us to create partnerships with these other folks around the property. For example, for the Willie Nelson concert, we had a great promotion with Guitar Center, where if you came down and you bought a ticket to Willie Nelson, you got a $5 gift card to Guitar Center.
Not bad.
And it's partnerships like that we need to be able to capitalize on to attract the various different types of folks that we're trying to have come to shows.
Very cool.
You know, our Blink 182 show was back on May 3rd, was a successful, great show for us. Mm-hmm. And that was a demographic that we were attracting.
A little younger.
That hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of a harder rock, a little bit of a younger group. You know, our zip code numbers were a lot from South Florida, which we were equating to being FSU students, which is 60% of the university, I guess, or not. Don't quote me on that, I guess, but
a significant number.
A significant number.
Sure.
And, you know, we were seeing a lot of zip codes coming from Panama City. Which
Very
is,
cool.
you know, got some, you know, has a little bit of a military background.
So for those of us who are commerce minded, I mean, particularly if you are interested in the economic well-being of Tallahassee greater, you're doing your part.
Yeah, there's two shows in particular that I think that we saw a significant amount of out-of-town visitors coming to. Jennifer Nettles back in December. Jennifer Nettles has a history of supporting southeastern Georgia. I'm not sure if she's from there, but she has a presence there.
Strong following.
She has a strong following there, and I would imagine that we had some overnight visitors coming from that part of the state.
So the hotels and even the restaurants up and down the pike and the folks that are selling tires and gas.
Like
and
I said,
everybody.
You know, it's everybody. You know, it's you know,
somebody wins.
It's that sales tax of, you know, the heads and beds tax, you know, the employees it takes to ring up that cash register at the gas station. Hopefully we're all seeing an effectiveness.
And then there's the food, and we've got to talk about Urban Market and Dreamland, especially for my friend Rick Oppenheim, who already has his knife and fork in hand as we speak. And this is his thing. We're going to take a quick break. I've got Jesse Lynn with me. He is the general manager for the Pavilion at the Center of Tallahassee. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a national day of remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day. Giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy. For comprehensive family dentistry, call 875-3908. Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast. For the best design ideas and the highest quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring, call 656-8453. And Tallahassee Family Magazine, available at local newsstands and bookstores and online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Jesse Lynn, talking about this marvelous contribution on a lot of different levels, the Pavilion at the Center of Tallahassee. He's the general manager out there. We were just about to get into talking about food, and I think that in keeping with everything else that you guys are doing that has the sort of novelty, fresh perspective, here comes the Urban Market.
Amazing.
And as a concept.
Amazing.
Tell us about, isn't there like four or five people that came together on this?
Yep. The ownership, the folks that run it they're direct from Italy. English is not their first language.
Okay.
But they certainly speak the language of food.
And nor is it mine, by the way, which should be evident.
Yeah. And so... let me tell you, I had to put a, I had to stop going over to Dreamland, and I had to stop going over to Urban Market because I was eating too much, quite frankly, and it was certainly affecting me in the waistline. And Dreamland opened up a little bit before the Urban Market did, and I've got my standard order over at Dreamland, and I've got my standard order over at the Urban Market. The quick service pasta station is just... It just blows me away that every time I go up there and order, I'm watching the pasta be cut in front of me.
Yeah.
This week, actually, I had dinner at Plus 39, which is the fine dining restaurant.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
I went over there with some folks that we're associated with, and I had a great seafood stew. My wife had a great piece of beef.
World class. Really,
you know,
is.
I mean, it's...
We've eaten this several times, and it's stellar.
I've taken all family...
And my wife is Sicilian, so come on.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's the acid test, right?
You know, the pizza ovens were shipped over, manufactured in Italy. The gelato is addictive. The butcher shop is something that just makes me salivate every time I see it. The wine shop... it's got an enormous amount of selection, and they've got the staff there that can help you find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, the staff that are working there are they're passionate about what they do.
Yeah,
you know,
and knowledgeable.
And so, you know, it's something about going to a butcher and saying, "Well, what do you think about this cut of meat?" Or "How much do I need for four people?" Or "What's the best way to prepare this?" And it's nice to have that rapport.
It is nice
because. You know, you
and here's my point. See, that is unduplicated. When you find that happening right there at the center of Tallahassee, you're experiencing something that is bringing back what we used to know as kids, mm-hmm. and it's right there for us. We don't have to go looking mm-hmm. for it. You also talked earlier when we were chatting before the show, the technological wonder that this pavilion is, the cooling system itself.
Yeah, I was mentioning to you that I always know it the hottest day of the year in 2016 was July 20th because that was the day that we had Steve Miller. And we actually received the, of all of our shows, it was probably the most positive amount of feedback socially about the coolness and about how it didn't feel like it was 98 degrees with a 88% humidity factor. You know, you're walking from your car into the venue and you're thinking to yourself, man, it's hot. But as soon as you get that into that venue, you get your ticket scanned and you're walking to your seat or you take a seat or if you're standing in line at one of the concession stands, you've got this gentle, what it feels like is a sea breeze. And it doesn't feel like it's the hottest day of the year in Tallahassee. And so we got a lot of good
feedback.
And they
do that by using these high-powered fans?
We've got approximately 27 industrial fans that are probably larger than the roof of my house. And they do a great job. They do a fantastic job. But, you know, it goes back to the kind of the vision of what the ownership of the venue, you know, thought was important for a concert goer. And that starts with the back of house experience for the artists. You know, the dressing rooms, the places where they park their buses are all first class, you know, which is above and beyond what other competing venues can offer. Yeah. A lot of competing venues, you know, these artists are going into a hockey or a basketball locker room that smells like sweat.
Yeah.
Here, you know, they've got, you know, private restroom and bath facilities. They've got pull-out couches. They've got nice art on the walls. They've got high-definition TVs. They got workout space. It's a place that artists want to come. And so you move to the front of the you move to the front of the house where the our guests are coming into the facility. Our sound system is second to none. Our, you know, we've got permanently mounted video boards. And all these things are what is used as an attraction to have artists come back to Tallahassee.
And that's putting your investment in those things that are going to be the most meaningful to not just the ticket holder, but the artists themselves.
Yes. And
so you've got the whole thing covered.
We certainly try. You know, the artists are very well taken care of and protected. Reputation of facilities and venues goes a long way. And we've gotten a lot of accolades from the guys on the ground, the guys that are pushing the boxes and, you know, the production managers. And, they, you know, a truck driver for a national tour, his opinion on how the truck dock works carries a lot of weight.
I know that you've got an event coming up for 93.3, our flagship station here in Tallahassee. And that's July the 15th, and it's their Safety, Security, Survival Expo. That's kind of different too, isn't it?
It is.
For you guys.
We really want to be viewed as a multi-purpose facility in addition to the great shows that we're going to be, you know, soon to be announcing. You know, the Safety and Security Expo is a first-time event for us. We're going to be doing it in the Brickyard, which is about 17,000 square feet of space, and it's going to be an expo-style setup.
Nice.
Again, it's going to be covered, you know, it's going to have, it's going to have fans to keep you cool. You know, and previous to that, we've got some other events, you know, happening in June. I'm looking at a classic car show. I'm looking at a charity event for animal care.
Wow.
We're looking at a hurricane disaster event. And then, like you said, you know, Freedom Radio is going to be bringing their event over in July.
You know, a lot of the naysayers that I talked to anyway were skeptical and said, you know, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. And look at all the empty rental space over there and all that sort of thing. It seems to me that the approach has been, if you build it, they will come.
Sure.
And so there's that sort of, but my goodness, the kind of commitment that that has required. I mean, an ice rink? Who does that?
We do.
Yeah.
We do it in-house. And, you know, I've it's funny because I've got a great team. Nothing is done by myself. I've got a great team, a great staff of folks that make things happen. And, you know, the ice building is a process. You know, I've done it before in other facilities. You usually need about 4 days to do it. But it was a good event for... As I was telling you before, it's great to see people coming from Albany or from Valdosta that have never even seen a sheet of ice and to to see them go out there and hold each other's hands and laugh right. and giggle and have a right. good time until, you know, 11 o'clock on a Friday night. That's what it's, that's why I got into this business, is because I want to see those memories being made. You know, I've learned a lot I'm kind of on the outside of the whole retail aspect, but I've learned a lot about, just as an observer, the retail world is, it's a long process to get things done. You know, once a space is leased, the person that is holding that lease, they're responsible for it. And, you know, they have a priority list of when they want to open stores. You know, if store XYZ wants to open up in Austin before they open in Tallahassee, that's going to be that company's business model.
Right.
You know, one thing that I can tell you is there is excitement about what we got going on. And if you drive by the center of Tallahassee and you see a new construction fence, that's progress.
Yep.
And things are moving along. Yep. It's a very long process from the permitting to the design and development of individual spaces and building it out to the tenant's specifications.
Yep.
It's a long process. Yep. And as you said, you know, the industry's changed. You know, having the entertainment portion of what the pavilion can do, having the experience that you can have when you go into the urban market, you know, those are things that you can't get on the internet.
It's remarkable. And I'll tell you, friend, Jesse Lynn, if you get to know this guy, and I mean, he's there a lot. Appreciate you being here this morning.
Appreciate you having me, and I'm a big supporter of Tallahassee in general, so I'm glad we came here.
Absolutely. We'll have him back, folks. We've just gotten started. We're getting to know Jesse Lynn. Great guy, great family, and hey, he's one of us. So if you can, drop him a line. He's on Facebook. Tell him, hey, keep going. You're going to do fine. And buy some tickets. That wouldn't be a bad idea either.
Got a great kids show, Kids Bop, coming on August 10th.
So there you go. See, we'll have him back. We'll talk more of the shows that are coming up. Folks, we've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour. If you are listening on 93.3, if you're on moosemagnificat.com, stay with us. More coming up right after this.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host, coming to you from the studios of moosemagnificat.com and being carried to you over the airwaves of the marvelous folks at Freedom 93. Freedom 93 is 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, for those of you who are paying attention to the dial. Barry Kay and Company out there, they've got a great idea coming up here in the summertime. Jesse and I talked about it. Jesse Lynn, general manager for the Center of Tallahassee, the pavilion at the Center of Tallahassee. This safety, security, survival expo, July 15th. Stay tuned with me about that. Lots more information coming your way, but it's a neat idea. In that regard, we are grateful for the good people there at Freedom 93. Grateful for all of those folks here at Moose Magnificat, which is our own internet radio station. And we've got listeners all over the world that are listening in as you and I are talking here. Well, you're listening and I'm talking. But in any case, we're reaching beyond the terrestrial borders of our fair city and reaching out to people in Brazil and Australia, Moscow, from Seattle to Miami. They're all listening because they'd like to know what's going on in this here town. And you might ask what their motivation is. Well, we found out that a lot of them went to school here or were born here. Maybe they've got a student here attending, or they worked here at one time, whatever their connection. Or maybe they just kind of have a thing for Tallahassee. We hope they all have a thing for Tallahassee. We should have a thing for Tallahassee. Because after all, Tallahassee, let's all say it together, is a really cool place to do really cool things. Like, for example, solar energy. How about that? Tallahassee Solar, growing clean energy is the topic here. This comes by way of our friends over there at the City of Tallahassee. The subtext is Power Up with Tallahassee Solar. And they've created a customer participation program, or they are in the process of
creating this customer participation program for Tallahassee Solar, the city of Tallahassee's new solar program, now in the final stages. And it so happens that this last Wednesday at the city commission meeting, commissioners approved the date in which to gather additional public input. Okay, so they're still talking. At the May 24th commission meeting, citizens will have an opportunity to provide feedback on this residential and commercial utility program. Maybe the feedback should be yes. I don't know. It doesn't seem that complicated to me, but anyway, consider who you're dealing with here. And this program is designed to provide customers with access to energy produced by the new 20-megawatt solar farm. Okay, construction on the solar farm is set to begin later this month on Tallahassee International Airport property. So it's a big deal, and perhaps the mark of something even more promising for the future, the continued expansion of energy alternatives, alternate forms, especially solar, in a place where, yeah, the sun shines quite a bit in Tallahassee. Are we clear about that? So good news there. Let's see what else I can bring your way. Okay, now this is interesting stuff. This comes by way of the Leon County Commission, and they're telling us that we got to get prepared. Uh-huh. So they have a citizen engagement series. And this one coming up May the 31st, that's a Wednesday, will be at the Public Safety Complex over here on Easterwood, Tom Brown Park area, right? Easterwood Drive. So this says, in its continuous focus and commitment to engaging citizens, Leon County will host its next citizen engagement series. The session is on Wednesday the 31st, 6 p.m. The series will give citizens a chance to engage and learn from public safety experts and leaders in emergency management. The idea having to do with being prepared. So, in fact, this is entitled Prepare Now. When disaster strikes, it's too late to plan. Well said. Not exactly rolling off the tongue, but it basically, that's the title, and that's what we're going to say. It's prepare now. Okay. This upcoming session will focus on building community preparedness and resilience, a topic near and dear to our hearts, especially Michelle Raywinkle-Vasalinda, who's been on this topic of resilience now for some time, so that we can withstand man-made and natural disasters. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what man-made disasters might be, other than explosive devices. You got any idea, Carl? What would be a man-made disaster? Maybe a fire. Well, whatever. Well, I guess that's why you have to go to the series. You're going to find out what these man-made and natural disasters might be. The natural ones occur to me pretty clearly, hurricanes and such. Leon County will convene nonprofit partners, preparedness experts, emergency management staff, and other community members to discuss various topics such as disaster preparedness, emergency communication, and the importance of having an evacuation plan. Well, you know, for a long time, we have been in this business of helping communicate preparedness to all of you with our website. Did you know this? We have a website called TallahasseePrepared.com. And it's chock full of all of this kind of information, along with links to various community resources. So check that out, TallahasseePrepared.com. And yes, there's a Facebook page that accompanies that. So you can like us on the Facebook page there. It's a way for you to stay in touch with the latest information, and we'll be sure to have this particular notice posted there as well, keeping us better prepared for severe weather. And it's not just about hurricanes, is it? It's high temperatures and high humidity and freezing temperatures and high winds and thunderstorms. And yeah, you know, I mean, even an occasional hailstorm every so often, we've seen that too. So being prepared is a good thing in Tallahassee because, as they say, you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change on you. Although this last few weeks have been rather pleasant and rather consistent, you know, with highs being somewhere around the high 80s, but those overnight lows come back to bless us with those cool mornings, so we can't complain too much about that. See what other news I've got coming up for you. In the Maine, we have this new magazine edition of Tallahassee Family Magazine. So it is now out at various locations around the community. Here's an easy way to find it. Okay, so if you want to go to Earth Fair, or you can go to Whole Foods, or you can go to New Leaf Market, they all have copies of the magazine on hand. If you check with your church or synagogue, if you talk with someone at your school, a lot of the schools now have sufficient quantities there on hand, so you can do it that way. Also, all of the libraries in town, all the branches will have copies of the magazine, so they're helping us get this out. It's glorious. This edition of the magazine you're going to really, really, really like. Kudos to Carl and Dave and Sarah, all of you who have contributed, all the writers. It's a remarkable thing. And the coolest thing for me is that it really celebrates what I think to be the real Tallahassee, and that would be you and me. It's about as real as it gets. You stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Another marvelous contribution to our well-being here. Dr. Fang Sarah Ko. You've heard her before. This is her return visit, but we want to give her opportunity to bring us up to date on some things. Dr. Ko, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
And for those who don't know, and I want to say this in regard to Dr. Ko's contribution here. She is a Tallahassee native, if you didn't know that. Grew up here in Tallahassee, graduated from Lincoln High School. Her parents, computer wizards that worked for the state of Florida for many years, now retired. In my humble opinion, you've done quite well for yourself in bringing to us all of your training, your devotion to this business of ocular health, ophthalmology, right? And practicing here with Eye Associates in Tallahassee. How long have you been with Eye Associates? It's been a while.
A year and a half.
So yeah. When we first met, I think you had just gotten started there. Going well so far?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. And it's clear to me that you care very deeply about your patients. I think that came clearly to me when we first met, that there is absolutely, and I hope we can say this about all of those in medical practice, but certainly there are those that I have met, and I think you're among them, who display a kind of personal commitment to an individual's health, and it translates into the kind of proficiency and the discipline that you apply to yourself. It's one thing to be a caring person. God help us, we should all be caring people. We're going to talk a little bit today about dry eyes, which is a common affliction. Get us started. What's the business of dealing with dry eyes?
Right. Dry eyes is so common now. You know, we're all on our computers, we're on our cell phones, staring at screens all day. And the trouble is when we're focused and concentrating, We don't blink as much. You watch someone regularly, they blink 20 times a minute. On the computer, they might blink twice. And then after an hour or two, your eyes start burning, right? And it's just so common. It affects people of all ages, but it's worse as we get older because we don't produce as much of our natural tears.
And so if there is something that simple to observe, are you blinking enough, then, I mean, what do we do? If we're staring at a computer, do we like set a timer and remind ourselves? Or
you can, but it'd have to go off every couple seconds. It'd drive you crazy.
Okay. Or maybe just have people come in and say very sad things to me. So then I start tearing up now. So I'm being silly here. But so in terms of our daily practice, there are some, I guess, sort of common sense remedies there in terms of our behavior. When you find it more so that there's an affliction here, there are some treatments available too, I suppose. Huh?
Yes, absolutely. I have a list about 20 things that people can do to help with their dry eyes. And 20 because it tells you how hard it is to treat it. Wow. That it's quite chronic. You can tell yourself to blink more, but it's hard to hard to train that in.
Yeah.
And the most simple thing is to go to Walgreens or CVS and get a bottle of artificial tears. And when your eyes feel tired, you put in a drop, close your eyes for a minute, let them rest, and then carry on with your day.
Yeah. And that revitalization is enough. And does that help stimulate more tears, or is that just merely a supplement?
That's an excellent question. It's a supplement, and it'll wear off in a matter of time. It doesn't last forever, so you can do it again, a couple times a day. Or if you want to stimulate your eyes to produce their natural tears, what I tell my patients is to use heat. So like a washcloth soaked in hot water, or you can make your own homemade bean bag with a clean sock and some dry rice. You microwave that for 30 seconds. I'm giving you some good secrets here.
This is good stuff. Wow.
So the heat can stimulate your eyes to produce more natural tears.
Wonderful. Huh. And you said that it is a function of the aging process. Yeah. As we get older, we tend to not produce as much fluid.
And the reason for that is because, well, one, we don't produce enough fluid, as you say, enough tears. And the other thing is we always think of tears as water. But it's more complicated than that. There's water, there's protein, there's oils. And I'm going to talk to you about the oils in our tears.
Okay.
Is if you imagine a bowl of soup that's very watery, it's going to evaporate right away. Whereas that oily bowl of soup will stick around a lot longer and be higher quality.
Right.
And with time, our oil glands get clogged up from dust in the air, from our sweat. Women, when we wear makeup, a lot of us don't take it off every night.
Not good.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
And okay. And so as those oil glands get clogged up, the tears that we produce are lower quality. And that's why they don't last as long and our eyes feel more bothered.
Look at that. Oil glands as opposed to tear ducts, right? Not the same thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the oil glands are not even visible to us. They're not on the, so the tear ducts we can notice, but they are reliant on what we're producing in general to create these natural tears,
Right. Our oil glands are right at the base of our eyelashes.
Ah.
Right on the edge of our eyelids.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go, folks. We've learned a little bit more courtesy of the very lovely Dr. Koh.
And I will say,
yes,
there's actually something new, because you mentioned you wanted me to talk about any new developments.
Please.
There's something called a LipiFlow, and it's a machine that will actually clean out your oil glands if that's the problem.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. So,
well, maybe every 30,000 miles or something, I should come in for a cleaning, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't wear eye makeup, but I still
maybe
work in dusty
night
conditions.
Just
depending
kidding
on where I might be hanging for the evening, right? I get that. Well, thank you so much. We're going to have you come back and talk to us further about other developments in this fascinating area of medicine and your contributions here locally. Folks, this is another opportunity for us to learn, courtesy of the folks at iAssociates and our good friend, Dr. Ko, Dr. Fang Sarah Ko, who will return on another occasion if we can persuade her to come back and, who knows, maybe wear her red boots again. That's a very cool thing. Stay with me, folks. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
May 5th, 1868, General John Logan calls for a National Day of Remembrance in honor of those slain on the field of battle during the Civil War. May 30th was chosen as the day when Americans across the nation would gather to offer prayers and decorate the graves of these fallen defenders of freedom. In 1968, Congress declared the last Monday in May to be our official Memorial Day. Giving thanks for our first responders, law enforcement, and all those in military service who have given the ultimate sacrifice for a grateful nation. From Volcar Automotive Service and Sales on Capitol Circle Northeast in Tallahassee, Volcar for all cars, call 942-4980. Widen Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass, call 222-5781. And Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, Tallahassee's market leader for automotive accessories. Call 656-8800.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we have back in studio the very famous Vincent Hunt. Vincent Hunt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you, my man?
It's been a while.
It has.
You've been busy.
Yeah, they actually put me to work finally. I actually, you know, went from unemployed to employed.
It kind of happens that way when people like you decide that you're not going to wait for a phone call. You just get busy, put on them red dancing shoes that you've got.
Yeah.
Those are some fine-looking shoes.
Those Chuck Taylors, man. You got to bring the classics back, right? The originals. There's something about
the
originals.
Speaking of an original, my friend, you would find it difficult to replicate the kind of person Vincent Hunt is. He is a one-of-a-kind sort of entrepreneur, innovator, inventor, creator, and just a nice guy. You know, he's fun to be around.
That.
And, well, I'm saying this, you know, because I need to borrow some money, but
he said there's always a motive,
you know. So here we are, but no, it's just, you know, we've been known each other a little while, and you've been bouncing around this town for three, 4 or 5 years, it seems like. How long has it been?
Well, man, it's been like six and a half years.
Yeah. You were driving forward with, I got this idea and that idea and this and that and this and that, and I think for a lot of people who were closer to you even than I was at that time, trying to figure you out.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what box you can fit in. And you don't fit inside of boxes very well.
Right.
Because, you know, you're not even a round peg. You're like...
What is it?
I don't know. You look like an amoeba. Because you're like all these different sides and facets and such. And you seem to easily adapt then to that changing environment.
Absolutely.
But with this notion that somewhere inside of you, there's a consistent drive toward doing the most good for the greatest number of people.
Absolutely.
As it applies to especially young people these days and all of us. But within, let's call it educational models, right? So Creators Camp then comes alive.
Yes.
Comes together.
Yes.
And you have to keep mopping your brow and you keep pushing the plow and you're like doing all this with not a whole lot of people jumping up and down anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that, who was that? Vincent Hunt. Yeah, I knew him once.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I didn't make a whole lot of money on him, so I'm kind of, you know.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on now, see who else I can, you know, manipulate and
figure out,
exploit,
try to figure
and all
out
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But here you go, doing what you want to do, and I'm sharing that grittiness in this moment. So because there's somebody listening right now, I guarantee you,
I mean, we got a lot of folks listening right now.
Right.
At least one of them is saying, man, I get that.
Yeah.
Because I've had some great ideas, and I got so far with it, and then, man, it seems like the door got slammed in my face, or the bottom fell out. Something went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not immune to that.
Not at all.
And you can speak to that from the standpoint of where you are now.
Yes.
And where you're going.
Yes.
Tell us, first of all, Creators Camp has kind of spun forward into a lot of iterations. There's a lot of aspects to Creators Camp from where you started.
A lot of different layers. Creators Camp, of course, and we've talked about this a little bit before, and I think it would be good to revisit that so we have the foundation.
Yeah, to
kind of talk about why Creators Camp exists. When I first moved here, you're 100% correct. You know, I came, I was kind of an oddball, you know, a little different flavor coming from the Midwest, coming here to Tallahassee, bold ideas, without the fear to execute on those ideas. And yes, you do gravitate, you know, a lot of people gravitate around that, which actually, you know, I've learned now, you know, 4 decades in the game, that can be a very, very risky and dangerous thing, right? With somebody, because I have a lot of charisma, right? I have a lot of charisma, have a lot of energy, a lot of belief in what I'm doing, and that can suck people in, right? And if you get sucked in to my vortex of chaos and innovation without really, really doing your due diligence to say, does this align with some of the things I'm thinking? Can I really get behind it? You know, if you're not doing a true self-evaluation of yourself before you get in the storm, you could lose yourself. And at the exact same time, you know, undergo one of the greatest disappointments in your life because you went down a road with me not realizing that my tolerance for the chaos is high. It's very, very high. And so,
and you show me an inventor, a creator in history who has not been that way.
Exactly.
It might be the one defining characteristic more so of all. You know, I mean, how many light bulbs didn't work until one finally did?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You cannot fall in love with any one innovation, right? Just like innovation has no friends, you know, and has no allies, the inventor and the innovator cannot in that sense. In the sense of, you know, you're about to do something bold. You're about to birth something into the earth that's new, that's fresh. That's going to be challenging. That's going to cause people to kind of break out of their molds and do things that they wouldn't naturally do. If it's an innovation that's going to cause us. Let's take an example of this. Around the time when I got here, a phenomenon was coming up as far as it pertained to checking in online. Remember?
I do.
Like, check in.
Yep.
People are like, oh my God, no, I'm never going to check in because I don't want anybody to know where I'm at. Like, you know, secretive.
Right.
But now here we are, 6-7 years later, we check in on automatic.
Right.
So when you have these behavioral changing innovations, right, that's bold because you're saying I'm going to alter the way the marketplace responds to a certain thing. So in the case of if we go back to menuless, you know, going from paper menus to now completely digital.
Yeah.
Right? Highly intelligent. Not only was the menu the challenge for people, but for the restaurateurs, they had to accept this idea that they're going into a new frontier. All of that is brand new, and it's all big, and it's all scary, and it's all awesome. Right? And if you get on that train, you got to be ready that if the marketplace is not ready, you have a good chance of dying.
And it's this marketplace of ideas where you make your day. That is where you live.
And I love it.
And what you're pointing to, I know you do, and what you're pointing to then are these institutional investments where if it's a paper menu or if it's an educational model or an educational system.
And that's where I'm fighting right now.
You're coming up against that.
Yes.
And it is a wall.
Yes.
And you've either got to punch through the wall or scale it or start pulling it apart one block at a time.
Yep.
But somehow you've got to get us to reconsider how that wall was built in the first place. And is there another way or other ways?
Right. And so and you're 100% correct. So now here we are, you know, in the space of education innovation, which I kind of fell into because when I moved here, of course, speaking at FAMU, FSU, TCC speaking to large groups of kids that are sitting in college classrooms right now and realizing that a great majority of these kids had no clue of what they would do once they graduated.
Yeah.
So as an innovator, that's a problem, right?
That's and getting it, on a boat and you don't know where the boat's going and you don't know if the thing you're supposed to be sailing toward even exists.
But and here's the thing, and this is going to be a little bit controversial, and I'm hoping that you know the listeners.
That's why we're here.
That they wrap their arms around this idea. We've kind of taken this answer when you ask a young person, I'm talking about a junior and senior in college, you know, what are you going to do once you actually get out? The answer that I get 99% of the time is I'm figuring it out.
Yeah.
I'm figuring it out.
Right.
I've invested all these dollars, right? Yep. I'm getting an education, but at the end of the day, I'm just kind of trying to figure it out.
Right.
Well, okay, there's some people that's going to argue to the slant that says, well, you know, that's the time where you find your passions, you find what you want to do. But that plays also into the business of school, brand education, right?
Yep.
The idea is they make dollars for every year that you're in there.
Figuring it out,
right? So as long as you're figuring it out, cool, right? Go from one degree to the next degree to the next degree, investing more and more dollars. Just keep figuring it out, right? But at the end of the day, here's the problem. That person trying to figure it out is going to face this thing called the real world.
And hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Absolutely.
Right.
Basically, folks, the shackles.
This is it, and we've got Vincent Hunt helping us figure it out. You stay with me. We're going to be back in just a moment. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983. For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services when you're ready to share your vision. Excite your audience and reach the hearts of your customers. Reach for Rapid Press. Online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Vincent Hunt. Tell us what's going on with Creators Camp specifically.
What's going on with Creators Camp specifically is when we first started designing Creators Camp. Now, this was 3.5 years ago.
Right.
With the recognition of this idea that young people, I don't want to say they're being misled because they're basically just doing what the 100-year system has trained them to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Follow the lines, check the boxes, take the test. You see.
Yep.
And race towards conformity. Mm. Right. So we took that challenge and we said, how can we better prepare young people for the future? Because here's a statistic. 65% of the kids that are in primary school today, right? 65%, this is more than half of the kids that are in primary school today are going into jobs and occupations that haven't even been created yet. Now, that was released by the Department of Labor. So if you've got a room of 10 kids, right? Six of them jokers are going into fields that haven't even been discovered yet. They'll be doing work that we have not yet seen. That's a very interesting thing to me, right? But we have a system that teaches them conformity, right? And the mastery of one thing, right? So in that, they get into a marketplace that's highly volatile, right? The job market or the skills force has completely changed and they don't know what to do. Right. So we're running towards one of the greatest recessions, depressions, whatever you want to call it, that we've ever seen.
And because we have people who are, let's say, well educated that are irrelevant.
That are irrelevant. Like if you know, we can use the example of surgery because I use this a lot. And this is a loose example. Right. So if you think about the world of surgery, if you have a young kid that's like, let's just say they're going into high school and they're saying they want to be a surgeon. You got about 15 to 18 years of development that has to happen. Learning. This puts us in the year 2032, right? Surgery. Now, the way we see surgery now, you have a surgeon who goes into the surgery room and conducts surgery. But in 2032, we'll have robots that do that. And there's this other thing called AI that's growing incredibly fast. Then you also have computer learning, right? So if this young person pigeonholes themselves into the idea, all I have to do is learn surgery. I don't have to know about robotics. I don't have to know about AI. I don't have to know about computer learning. I don't have to know about programming, because that's not my thing. My thing is surgery, right? Mm. If they don't know by the year 2032, guess what? You're a surgeon, but you're irrelevant. Mm. You cannot execute in the hospital of the future. Do you see?
I do.
But we're not telling them that, right? And so in that, you know, we just have to do a better job at helping young people, you know, look at the world in a more robust kind of a way.
Is it happening at a pace that is even more accelerated because yes. technologies invent technologies kind of thing?
Yes. Because now if you think about it, like back in the day, like as I was growing up, like we saw some of the greatest innovations hit the marketplace, right?
Yep.
Microwaves.
Yep.
Big deal. Laptop computers. Big deal, right? But we would only see these innovations once every 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. Today, as we're having this conversation, new stuff is popping out right now, all the time.
Yeah.
So the acceleration of innovation, right, is much faster than we
exponential.
Ever. It's exponential.
Right.
If you think about Google DeepMind, right? Mm-hmm. Google DeepMind, Google that up, like look that up. Mm-hmm. Google DeepMind right now is highly sophisticated as it pertains to computer learning and artificial intelligence.
Wow.
Highly sophisticated. You're talking about a machine that if you put it in front of a video game right now at this point, at this time, and it plays that video game all night, by the time you wake up the next morning, that video game or the computer will not be able to be beaten by the video game. It would have mastered the video game because it would have taught itself in every, you know, possible thing that could happen, scenario in the video, it would have already learned it. So if we have computers that are that smart, already today, this is 2017. Could you imagine 2035, 2032? But we're not having this conversation with young people. We keep like herding them down these paths, right? That are, you know, about these one, due to this one thing,
right.
And not think about, you know, the things that are impeding in your industry.
How it plays out. But you are having those conversations.
Absolutely.
And
all
those
the time.
Students that are a part of Creators Camp.
Yes.
Are being challenged, my understanding is,
yes.
at a fundamental level, just in terms of how they think through a problem or how they go about the creative process.
Absolutely.
So if I'm enrolled in Creators Camp,
yes.
what happens?
When you're in Creators Camp, like the very first thing that we do, instead of like asking young people what they want to do in the future, because they don't know. Right. If you take the average 10, 11, 12, 13 year old and tell them to create a list of all the occupations that they know, they might write down 10, five, right? At best, they just don't know.
Right.
So instead of asking them what they want to become, we start really looking at what they are. Right. I believe human beings have natural talents, skills and abilities that they were born with. Right. And it's our job as adults, context, right, to help them understand how those natural talents, skills and abilities map to the earth. Right. What could this possibly be, right?
Yeah.
And so in doing that type of research and that type of discovery with a young person, they get a greater sense of self-awareness. They start to understand that there's value in their natural talent, skills, and abilities.
Okay.
And they stop chumping out of the things that they're naturally inclined to do.
That's a different point of departure, and it's a different level of motivation.
Absolutely.
Because now they're really getting in touch with who
Absolutely.
They really are at that moment.
Yes.
And now they can start trying to answer that question. What would I do with
yes.
what I am and who I am and
right.
how I... And then there's this thing you do, Fireside. Tell me
yes.
about Fireside.
Fireside. In fact, we actually have Firesides coming up like all the time. Firesides is where we actually take people who are actually working in the fields of science, technology, engineering, art, design, and math, some people call STEAM, right? Or STEM, STEAM. We try to get away from, you know, acronyms because I really believe that we're going to outgrow those acronyms.
Yeah, very quickly.
So we think about future readiness. These are future-facing industries and fields where work will happen.
Yeah.
And so in that, what you find is in a fireside, when we bring somebody that's actually working in that space and ask them the real questions, like so for instance, you have John Arthur, right? Who's the state geologist. If you ask him, like, were there some early signs that you could possibly be in, you know, the field of geology? And he'll say, well, when some kids were collecting baseball cards and basketball cards, I was collecting rocks, right?
Yep.
So there were some early signs that he was into that type of science.
Yep.
Now, lucky enough, his parents fostered that, instead of saying, why are you collecting rocks? You're weird. Why don't you collect baseball cards and basketball cards? They say, no, collect rocks.
Yeah.
And he continued to do it, and his curiosity began to grow. And when he went into that field, it was something that he loved to do and had been loving to do it ever since he was a little kid.
Yeah.
But we do very, very little of that. But here's the other thing that I think is interesting. We celebrate people who do go with their natural DNA. We celebrate rock stars. We celebrate great movie actors. We celebrate all of these people.
Basketball players.
Yeah. Like all that. Like we give them all the glory, right? But for some reason, there's a big disconnect to say, wait a minute, what if I just do the thing I'm designed to do?
Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
I love painting houses, and I'm good at that.
There you go.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So why don't I just be the best house painter?
Yep.
In fact, even rethink how house painting happens. But here's the other thing, though. You have to also think about, this is a very, very complex thing that we're talking about. We're talking about human beings. Huh. The most complex thing on the planet.
Mm.
A human being, yeah. Right? So even if you have a young person who is into basketball, that's their thing, right? Watch that child, because it may not be on the court that their greatest art is done.
Folks, I'll tell you this. If you'll pay attention, this guy will help you. He's helping us figure it out, and we need to keep him around us. So be nice to him. When you see Vincent Hunt somewhere, be nice to him. We need him to stay.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep working and help him. You know, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely.
A pleasure.
Always good,
come
man.
Back again, right?
You know I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to do it.
That's what we got for you this week, my friends. Glad you were a part of it. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. The executive producer for Tallahassee Talks is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out the truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.